History tells the story of the world and of our lives. Sometimes that history goes bump in the night. Broadcasting from the center of oddity and the supernatural in Central Florida, it's the History Goes Bump podcast.
Hello, you spectacular people. Welcome to this 527th episode of the History Ghost Bump podcast, Ghost Tours for the Theater of the Mind. I'm your host, Diane.
And this is Kelly.
Kelly, on this episode, we're going to be covering the Minersville Mansion, which is located in Minersville, Pennsylvania. We're going to be joined by author and paranormal investigator, Jeffrey A. Dangler. He was great to talk to.
He sure was.
And he had some great EVPs that he's captured on other investigations that he's done. We're going to share those at the end of the interview because we need some feedback from you guys to see if you recognize the languages that might be spoken on these EVPs.
Yes, most definitely.
And they're really good EVPs.
I'm like, sure are.
Usually you don't get a class A, and he's got a lot of them. So that'll be great. Before we get into that, we don't have anybody to welcome into the Spooktacular crew this week.
Well, because we're recording shows back to back.
We are. So welcome to everybody who's in our Spooktacular crew. And now this moment in oddity.
The moment in oddity was suggested by Michael Rogers. There is a lake located on the edge of Middle Island in Australia that for many years was quite unique. Lake Hillier was a saline lake separated from the ocean by a thin strip of land. It was discovered during an expedition in 1802. The topography of the lake isn't what made it unusual. Rather, it was the lake's color which made it so different. The actual water was a bright bubblegum pink color. The hue would not change when placed into a clear container. It was determined that the pink color was caused by a combination of an algae organism called Dunalila salina and red halophilic bacteria rubrin. Despite the strange hue, studies showed that it was actually safe to swim in. However, that was not allowed without prior consent by the Western Australia Department of Environment Conservation. It had also been revealed that the lake's salinity level rivaled that of the Dead Sea in turn, making it very buoyant to humans. Sadly, reports state that the lake does not appear the bright pink color any longer. This is believed to be caused by the construction of the South Coast Highway and a rail line. This altered the flow of water to the lake, reducing its salinity in 2017. Perhaps one day it will recover the color that made it famous. Regardless, a lake the color of bright pink bubblegum certainly is odd.
Grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat.
And now, this month in history.
In the month of February, on the 26th in 1846, William F. Buffalo Bill Cody was born in Scott County, Iowa. His family moved to Kansas while William was still a child. While only 11 years old, Cody left home to work as a cattle driver, traveling across the Great Plains several times. From there, he moved on to fur trapping and gold mining. William even worked for an early version of the Pony Express. Once the Civil War was over, Cody became a scout for the Army. This is where he received his nickname of Buffalo Bill due to his hunting skills, often supplying meat for the railroad workers. Buffalo Bill was a charming guy, which led him into his show business career. His first performance was in a drama in Chicago called Scouts of the Prairie. He was quite the showman and audiences loved him. Always the entrepreneur, Cody started his own acting troupe the next season and enlisted the help of friends, Texas Jack and Wild Bill Hickok, for a time. Buffalo Bill continued arranging plays until 1882. Later that same year, he came up with the idea of creating an outdoor show involving live animals and hundreds of performers. There were trick shooters and ropers, recreations of buffalo hunts, stagecoach robberies, bronco riding, and the like. Some of the stars who performed were Annie Oakley, Calamity Jane, and Chief Sitting Bull. Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show even performed for Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee in 1887. Cody continued performing in his show even in his older years, although it was said that he required help mounting and dismounting his horse. His last performance took place just 4 years before his death at the age of 70 in 1917.
The Minersville Mansion is located in Minersville, Pennsylvania, and is known by the locals as the DiNicola Mansion, as it was owned by Dr. Arthur DiNicola, who ran his practice out of the home. The mansion has stood for over 100 years and had a series of medical professionals who owned it, and today is used as an apartment building. Author and paranormal investigator Jeffrey A. Dangler wrote the book, The Minersville Mansion, after spending time investigating the house. He joins us on this episode as we share the history and hauntings of the Minersville Mansion and some of the experiences he has had investigating other locations.
Minersville, Pennsylvania was settled by Europeans in the late 1700s. Adolph Oliver Bush was the first settler, and he built a cabin and sawmill along the Schuylkill River in 1783. Later, he built a tavern to service people traveling the Sunbury Trail, which was a trail frequented by Native Americans before the Europeans arrived. This would later become known as the King's Highway in honor of King George III. Anthracite coal was discovered in 1799, and formal mining operations began in 1814. And that is where the name of the town comes from. The Reading Railroad came along in the 1800s, and the town expanded rapidly as commerce grew and immigrants came to work in the coal mines. An ironworks was built in the town as well. It was here that a doctor decided to build his home. We are joined by author Jeffrey A. Dangler, who has written The Spirits of Shoemaker's Road and The Minersville Mansion, and he is joining us to not only discuss The Minersville Mansion, but his work in the paranormal field. First, we always want to ask people, clearly you are into spirits and the paranormal. What got you started in that? I believe I'd read that you grew up in a haunted house or something.
Yeah, there's a house that's by a lake near me. It was in the family for probably over 30, 40 years. Somebody lived in it in my family. My wife and I lived in it. My brother lives in it currently. And it was very active the whole time. That's where I got a lot of the experience with the paranormal. That was back in the 90s. And after that, people would always think they're crazy when they have a haunting. So friends of ours, some friends would like to come over because they like that. Other friends wouldn't even come in the door. But when they were at parties or get-togethers and other people, they hear somebody talking about the paranormal or they're haunting in their house, they would say, I think I know somebody that could probably help. So from experience, we knew they weren't crazy and things they could do to rectify it or take back their space. We would go over and check out their home and let them know what's there. And the whole thing to me is perception. People always perceive everything as the devil, evil right away because of TV and movies. So once we go in, it just barreled from there, just kept going. We never really looked for it. It always seemed to find us, my wife and I. When it first started back in, we lived in that in the 90s. And then in sometime in the 2000s, we started going to people's houses. And it just kept going from there and helping people. And when you first walk in, they always have that look of fear, like they're going to die and the devil's there. And then we leave. It's good to see the relief in their face that they actually understand it better after we talk to them, that it's not right away. They think it's haunting is just black and white, that right away it's, you know, something bad and they're going to get hurt, and it's not the case. So once they understand it better, they're more comfortable in their own home, which is good to, you know, help people.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so important because a lot of people, when they start having stuff that they don't understand, It just freaks them out. And it's like, you don't really have to be freaked out, and you probably tell them it's your house, you're in charge. You can tell them, hey, you know, back off a little bit or whatever.
Yeah, the big thing is just take control of your space. As I always tell them, it's no different when you're at work or you're, you know, in public, whatever, somebody's right against you or bugging you or like in your face, you tell them to back off. It's the same. It's your space. You know, people got to respect your space. So it's just in your home, the same thing. It's your space. And once you learn the steps that can take control of your space again, they seem to be a lot more at ease in their own home.
I read your book, Minersville Mansion, and I got the feeling there at the beginning, I don't know if you're comfortable with talking about it, it seems like you had some kind of an accident or something that seemed to open you up to the paranormal in some kind of way, so that I don't know if you'd say you were psychic, but it just seems like your abilities are a little bit more enhanced after that.
Right. I kept it quiet for years, but then once the books came out, I started writing the books and stuff. Everything comes out then. So I figured it was time to tell my story. What happened was years ago, I worked in TV and film, and I was working on, I stayed with it, you know, here and there, got out of it a little bit because of raising three kids. And I kept doing it. And I was doing a World War II documentary, and I was working in sets and props. So I got everything ready for this war scene, and there was an explosion. And when they exploded, it was like right in my face. And when it happened, I went totally deaf. I didn't hit, my wife's a paramedic, and she was on the set as a paramedic. She came running over, the director came running over, the Germans, all the soldiers came running over because we all got along really good. And they wanted to make sure I was all right. And I just, everything was like in a movie, everything was slow motion. And my wife, I hear everybody yelling, I could see them yelling, their mouth moving, but I couldn't hear anything. It was totally silent. They took me to the emergency room. Yeah, they took me to the emergency room. And as we're in the emergency room heading there, I started hearing what I describe as an old radio dial just going really quick, like somebody spinning the dial. I started hearing all these frequencies. And wherever that decided to stop, I started tuning into the other side, and I started hearing spirit, and I started seeing stuff. Ever since then, I just feel a need to help people. So I work on some missing person cases sometimes. I look at cold cases, paranormal stuff, you know, with haunted houses. So it's progressing and evolving over the years. So things that happened to me originally, I still have, but it's other things happen since then. It's like it evolves, the whole ability thing. I can hear spirit. I can, I don't really see them unless I close my eyes. Like if I'm in a location, I can feel something's there, but I don't see it. If I close my eyes, I'll see it. It's kind of odd how my stuff, how it works for me. I have a private group on Facebook that there's people around the world and stuff that have abilities. And I think everybody does. Sometimes it takes a traumatic event, other things to happen for them to, you know, come out more. And I can look at a picture, I can look at a picture and get things off of it. Like I can tell things from people's eyes. Their eyes tell me everything. The other people, like you look at four other people that are working with me, they look at the same picture and get things that we all pertain to the picture, but we all get different things. Sometimes the same, but sometimes it's something different, but it all pertains to that person in that picture. It's just weird how we receive messages and why. I don't know why. I can't explain any of it. I just know it's there. And at first you think you're crazy, just like people with a haunting, they think, you know, they don't want to tell anybody because they think they're nuts. I was kind of the same way at first, but you know, you start getting validated by things, you start believing more in yourself and believing in, you know, what you say, and you don't second guess stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely a growth process, and I completely understand that. And everybody has different abilities. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can take those personal experiences to have them start to evolve.
Right. Yep.
And yeah, I hate that you had to go through what you did, but wow, what a gift to have after.
Yeah. I'm like always in awe of it. I mean, it's never spirits. I'm always in awe of it. I don't know how to explain it. It's just things that I believe before. I didn't believe before. I 100% believe now. It's like, it's just, I don't know. It's I'm in awe of it all the time.
It never gets boring.
No.
Right.
Well, I used to poo-poo that stuff so much. And then I met Kelly and we would go into places and she would kind of whisper to me because she didn't like to draw attention to the fact that, you know, she goes, I feel like there's this, you know, little boy ghost over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, oh, okay. And then we'd get some other kind of piece of evidence that would back that up. And it just started happening more and more. And I went, you know, I think you really do have some ability there.
Yeah. Like I go into a place I can. My wife will say, what do you feel here? Like I like old places. We go to Gettysburg. We go out to eat. We go to older places. I just like being, I feel more at home at older places. So when I go to a farm that's not local to around here that the family had it since the 1700s. It's like walking back in time. Every time you go there, it's like you're back in the 1800s, 1700s, how everything is. And it's just, I just feel more at home back then. And going to these places, I'm always getting tested by friends and family and stuff. And my wife would be like, what do you feel here? Who's here? Is it haunted? So I'll just tell her what I think and then find out later what we'll ask the people that work there or whatever. And it's not always right, but a lot of times I am. I am right, not wrong, but you know, just from people that have worked there and stuff tell us stuff that what they experienced, maybe they just don't experience what I saw or felt. I don't know.
Sure.
And yeah. I kind of wonder if you feel more comfortable in that environment. Do you believe in past lives?
Yeah. It's strange because it like gives me chills even talking about stuff like that. At first I didn't. One of the things I didn't believe in at first, but I have a friend, Nadine. She does shamanic stuff, and she took me on this journey one time, actually in the mansion. And we sat there, me and she spent a lot of time with me at the mansion. And she goes, how about we do a past life thing? So we did this journey. And as she did it, my eyes were closed. I was actually in that time period. I actually saw furniture from back then and a gentleman sitting. I was behind him, and he was at a table, and he had a feather type pen or whatever, and he's writing on his desk, and I'm like looking over his shoulder. It was like crazy, the things I seen. I the first time I ever did something like that. I always want to do like a regression, but I never had the opportunity yet. But I do believe 100% in it now. Like I said, I never did before, but now I actually, you know, 100% do.
The Minersville Mansion is also known as the DeNicola Mansion because it had once been owned by Betty and Dr. Arthur DeNicola. This is such a cool looking house. It's got this three-story turret on the corner of it.
Yeah.
It's built out of stone and wood, and it's not just like brickwork. It's stonework, it looks like. It's so neat. Do you know? Well, actually, I do know that you know. You're basically the one who dug up a lot of the history on this place. Can you share a little bit about that? I know, I think there was a Native American trail that had gone through here to begin with.
Yeah, first, back in the colonial days, there was a highway they made to go through down in my area. Up in that area is about an hour, 45 minutes, an hour. So there was the main road that went up through there, the Sunbury Trail. And then it eventually became Sunbury Street and, you know, went up into the coal regions of Pennsylvania. The house itself was built, in my records, by 1904. Even in when they started doing remodeling in the house, when Teresa bought it, they found planks of wood in the ceiling that had 1904 written on them. And the guy that put the mansion together, he had his name on these pieces of wood, which was a cool find.
Wow.
Yeah. But since 1904, everybody through the history of the mansion was in the medical field. It's kind of crazy. The original owners, they were all doctors. Their sons and stuff grew up and went to college, and daughters was a teacher. Their sons were doctors. Later on, there was a dentist and then Dr. DeNicola. So throughout the history of the home, it was all people in the medical field until like Teresa bought it.
And they used it as a medical office too, right?
Yeah, it was always some kind of form of a doctor's office. Back with first doctor, I don't know exactly what he practiced. I forget what it was, but it wasn't like a regular family doctor like DeNicola. It was something like more holistic type doctor, I believe, back in the early 1900s. And I also trying to find documentation, which I believe there is from the Historical Society talking to them. I always thought that would have been a temporary hospital back in the flu. It was kind of crazy because when I was writing the story, we were experiencing COVID and, you know, and the virus and stuff. And back in 100 years prior, they were having the Spanish flu. So I think they had a lot of places that were temporary hospitals, and Minersville was one of the biggest hit ones in the area. They lost thousands of people. And so I believe the mansion was actually a temporary hospital back then. I had visions of that when I walked through it. I saw people in there on the third floor and beds and stuff. So I was a lot of things I seen, I wrote in the book. And then later after the fact, like people won't come forward, but after the fact, people start messaging me and getting a hold of me and telling me they were in that house when they were growing up and they had family. Some of the family that lived there from the dentist back in the 60s, you know, people were telling me stories and stuff that validated a lot of stuff, almost everything that we felt while we were there. Me, myself, you know, Nadine, Nicole, Cody, all these friends of mine throughout the United States and stuff, I had them look at pictures of the mansion and see what they got. Because I always get everybody involved in it to try and feel, you know, see what they get. We do praxis exercises in my group. Things that they felt were, you know, validated later on. It was kind of cool. I wish it was validated while I was writing the book, but it was great, you know, later on to find out that they were right. because Nicole would get sick when we went in the basement. I would show, send her a video. She was from Michigan. She's now from Florida. And when she was in Michigan, I sent her a video and she would look at the video and she got really sick. She goes, I can't watch it, Jeff. She said, it's getting me sick. I always smell it from formaldehyde. Later on, after the fact, we found out that there was a good reason why there was formaldehyde. She smelled that and she was 100% spot on. So it was really cool to validate not only me, but friends of mine that took the time to try and help me with that case.
You were digging up some of the stuff that was around that area too. You think this would be like a house in a neighborhood, but there was like an ironworks or something that was located behind it or something, right?
Yeah, there was an ironworks behind it. We're like trying to figure out at first, the first day we went in, what would be the cause of the haunting, just like any place, trying to find out the history of the area, if they know the neighbors or the history of the property, the current owners would know anything. And then find out, any deaths in the house, in the area, any tragic things happen, businesses, anything. So there's so many different reasons for a haunting. By the research, there was an ironworks behind the mansion that was, 100 years ago and stuff. So a lot of the research helped, but it's always like a puzzle. You get these pieces and it drives me nuts because I'll get a piece and it's like, I'll hear something or a friend of mine will hear something and it's like, I just wish spirit or whatever would be more specific sometimes. It kind of drives me nuts. So these little pieces of information, you got to always put this puzzle together. But eventually the puzzle does come together. And when it does, it's like an amazing thing to get all these pieces and get them together. But it does get frustrating.
Well, all in due time.
Yeah. You get the pieces of the puzzle from, what we get, with abilities or whatever. And then you get pieces from research, pieces from this, and then just put them all together. And eventually it all comes together.
There's this woman, Teresa DeTurk, who buys the mansion. And that's when you get involved with it. I don't know if she had a friend or something. And she started telling her, we've got some strange stuff going on here, because they were doing a lot of remodeling to it, which we know tends to stir up some activity and such. How did you get involved and brought on board to go through and check it out?
Yeah, a friend of mine, Brenda, I was going to a house in Ole, a farmhouse. I went to a couple of farmhouses in a town called, a village around my area called Ole. And I believe the whole village is haunted. I mean, every place I ever went, it's just everything's haunted in that area, a lot of activity. But she went with me. I was trying to do research and do experiments at this farm. This guy owned it. I was looking for a place I could have for a while just to do experiments. I was empty. And this guy has this farmhouse of 30 acres and he didn't live there. And he gave me the key. He's like, here, have at it it's all yours. I'm like, that's amazing. I appreciate it. Went there, me and Brenda, a friend of mine. And then we did that for a year. And then that was in 2015. And then later on, 2018, Teresa bought the mansion. And Brenda's friends with Teresa. So when they were talking about her new place she bought in Minersville. And she said after they started doing renovations and stuff, they started hearing things and things were happening they couldn't explain. Brenda got a hold of me and said, do you mind going up and trying to help my friend Teresa? I said, yeah, absolutely. I'll go up. So we set a date and ended up, going up there and me and Brenda and a friend of mine, Justin, to check it out. And Justin's like, really, in the field, you got to be with people you trust. It's a big thing with me. There's a lot of people that, I don't know, I just don't trust. And I trust Justin and Brenda. And Justin got a hold of me through Facebook one time and said, I'm interested in the paranormal. He's a lot younger than me. He's like, I'm interested in the paranormal. And is there any place I could go with you? I appreciate it. I said, I'm going to this farm in Ole. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the country. There's no electric, no heat, no nothing. So I said, I don't know. I always say, I don't know who is crazier, me for let this guy go with me. I didn't know, or him follow me into this place. To experience the paranormal. Like I could have been some kind of crazy guy, but we trusted each other and we've been doing stuff together ever since. So he came with to the mansion too. Yeah, we were kind of like a team for a while there.
You had visions before you even went there, right?
Yeah. Some of the times I get visions, I'm like sitting here and all of a sudden something will just appear in the middle of the air and I'll just sit there and watch it like a video and it'll just go away. Like 5 seconds, it'll just vanish in the thin air and it comes true. And I started getting these type visions of the mansion. I'm like, I didn't even know about the mansion. And, I keep track of everything. I wish I was more organized. So I have tablets everywhere. I just jot stuff and I throw them down and I end up having like 20 tablets laying around the house. But I kind of try and find stuff. But I write stuff down. And then it was a couple of weeks or a month later, Brenda asked me about the mansion. I'm like, And then I did research, and the guy I was seeing was the Dr. Dina Cole. I saw him, and it was like, it was weeks prior to me even hearing about the mansion. So it's like, I started keeping track of more and more things over the years, just because I would, like, I guess spirit knows everything before we do it. So I would get images and stuff before I would even get told about a place. It's kind of amazing.
What kind of activity was Teresa and the contractor that she had experiencing that was freaking them out?
They were hearing noises and bangs, mostly on the second floor. As we first went there, I always asked, where we go? I ask them, you know, what's the spot of the most activity in your house? And they'll say, you know, upstairs or whatever. And that's where I want to go first. She said that's the second floor. They heard bangs and saw like somebody hitting wood together. They would see figures, hear stuff, which is interesting because I got to talk to somebody in the mansion more recently and they hear similar stuff yet. So it's still activity going on. Teresa has since sold the property, but they still have people living in it. And I got a chance to talk to people after Teresa left to, you know, even validated that. Because people would say, they knew the family, Dina Colas. I mean, they were totally respected in the area. I don't really know any of them, but everybody loved the family because of, you know, the work they did in the medical field that I talked to. A lot of them say, well, I went to that place. I went to the doctor. There was never any activity. I'm like, that's 100% possible. It's not, you know, as hauntings aren't as black and white, but I said people can live or go to a property and not experience anything. Well, other people will all the time. It's just, some people don't believe it, but I try and educate people as much as I can for what I mean, I don't know everything, but I try and educate people so they understand the spirit world more than what they perceive from TV and, you know, other things. So.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And it's one of those things where every single person has a different experience and it could be different one day to the next
right.
in terms of a particular location. So right. it's one of those things where we really value trying to educate others
right.
because you don't just get to come into a location and just say, oh, yeah, it's haunted. There's this, that, and the other. You know, you might feel something one day and then nothing the next.
Right. Yep.
And now a little break for a word about one of our sponsors.
And there's people like in the house I was telling you about by the lake. My sister didn't experience nothing. My brother never did. My mom and me all the time. And my wife did when she lived there. My son. But now my brother lives there. He always thought it was all baloney, but then he lived there with his son and he's a believer now. And the attic steps, there's a little girl there. I have her on audio. There's a little girl there. She's up in the attic. And I try to tell him stuff. He's like, yeah, whatever, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe in it. And after living there a couple of months, his son is in my old bedroom when I used to live there. He got his phone out because it's an old house. So the latches are real old latches that, you know, up and down and stuff. You got to hit the hook type latch for the lever to go up. And sure. This thing's going crazy on the attic door. And hit my brother went up and witnessed it. And he put duct tape all over the door. And it's been like that ever since.
He MacGyvered it.
And now he's a believer.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
What's really hard about the mansion is, like you said, you have these people that will come up to you. And I saw it even on Facebook. You would have people who would comment about, oh, I remember going and seeing Dr. Dina Cola with my folks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, well, maybe they didn't experience anything because he wasn't in there until after he had passed. You have other doctors who were in there. I think there was a Dr. Straub who had passed away in the house and had his actual wake there in the parlor.
He was the original owner, Dr. Straub, by my records. It was Dr. Straub was the original family, and they were all in the medical field. And I think it was three people that passed that I had records of in that house. And there's a lot of tragedy around some of the families.
It seems like there's a little boy spirit that's there.
Yeah, it's one. I don't know. I have this like question that has been bugging me for a while, and recently I've been asking at different locations because it seems like there's always a boy around me. And sometimes I know the boy's there, but there's a boy at the farm. There's a boy in Ole's farm I went to. There's a boy, and they only sound somewhat similar, but I don't, when I see them, they're different. But I don't know. I'm like really confused over it. it's confusing why there's always a boy that comes to me a lot. So sometimes I feel it's, when I go to haunted places, activity, whatever, I feel sometimes it's not just something that's there, that's on the property or the, you know, for years that they see or hear. It's something to do with one of the people, me or somebody that's with me. Because I could take somebody with me, like Justin, or I could take somebody else that's really not a believer, my wife, and she believes, but she always says she's a blocker. So like, depending who I take, I have more activity with certain people than others. I think sometimes those might be family or they're like protectors. I think they're protectors sometimes at haunted locations, the people that are there. You might pick up not just what you think is a haunting of the property or the house or whatever. It might be a family member. It might be somebody from a past life. I don't know. I mean, I can't explain any of it really. I just know it exists. I just can't say for sure this is a haunting from the property. A voice you pick up might be, you know, somebody that's with you's mom that passed. I don't know.
True. Could be somebody just traveling through also. And in regards to little boys from one location to the next, that just may be the type of spirit that is drawn to you. Like you're open to that and they know that they can trust you. I have a lot of interactions with children. And I think, you know, as a mom, it's just one of those things where maybe they feel more comfortable with you. And so it might not be the same little boy, but you're repeatedly getting that interaction.
Yeah. And boy, I feel in the mansion, there's something, I don't want to tell the story, but there's something that happens in the mansion. And right after it happened, that next night, I believe it was, I was in bed. Sometimes I get woken up, the bed will be kicked or shit. You know, it's like, I feel like somebody's rocking it or whatever. And one night I got woken up by a hug and it felt like a child that was hugging me. And it never freaks me out. It amazes me more than anything. I feel it was one of the boys for the mansion. I honestly do, because it happened right after this tragedy of what happened to the mansion in the story. And it was just, I don't know. It's just, like I said, I'm always in awe of it. I don't know how to explain it. It's an amazing thing to me.
Well, as you pointed out, Jeffrey, it can sometimes be related to who is in the house and maybe something that they have going on. I know you were kind of getting frustrated when you first started going through the house because you're seeing some things like, you know, a satanic Bible. Mm-hmm. You're wondering, is something going on here with a young person in the house that they're drawing something in, whether it's something ritualistic they're doing, or maybe they're just bringing that energy in themselves. And so you're having to try to deal with, is there something connected to the people in the house that has nothing to do necessarily with the history of the house?
Yeah, you froze for a little bit there. I don't know what happened, but...
Could it be Satan just interrupted this interview?
You're back.
What I'd said is, you know, trying to figure out if this is something that is connected to somebody bringing in the negative energy with them, and it's not necessarily connected to something historical with the house, and you're having to try to weed that out. And then when they're not being forthright with you and telling you these things.
Yeah, it gets really frustrating sometimes with that kind of stuff. Yeah. Trying to figure it all out, have the pieces of the puzzle go. It's all part of that puzzle. It's interesting you bring that up because my current book I'm writing now, I'm like 170 pages in. I have so much more to write yet, but it's in Oli. It's a whole different story than ones I wrote so far. The mansion is more of the history and who's still around, and some things might have been brought in from the family. Spirits of Shoemakersville Road is more about family and how they family's still with you after they're gone. It shows that in that book. And the new book is going to be, it's about a farm in Oli, and it's more about lower vibration energies and what people call evil, because they mess with the Ouija board and seances and brought these things into the house. People believe or perceive, perception's a big thing to me, and what they perceive as evil and stuff, I might not. But I always believe that what they believe is evil is drawn in. Like you bring that in. It just doesn't, it's not just there. I mean, it could be brought in by Ouija board or other ways that you don't understand. You're opening doors. It could be from like heavy drug use or fighting or whatever. I tell people sometimes you're a product of your own haunting. Like you put that stuff out in the atmosphere and environment, you actually like kind of manifest your own haunting. It's actually your emotions. The new book's about, they had activity, the family owned it for 50 years. They had activity, they first moved in, but it got a lot worse when they decided to start messing with the Ouija board and doing seances and playing tricks and doing all this stuff. So it's a totally different kind of book, but it's exactly what you were just talking about, how they bringing this stuff in. A lot of things that will probably give people nightmares when they read it.
In the Mansion book, the thing that kind of creeped me out the most is when they were describing seeing a horned man.
Yeah, in the hallway. Yeah.
So it's like, what is that?
Yeah, every time I went to the mansion, it always had a different feeling. It was like, it always felt like the house had a personality of its own. It always felt different. It was never, sometimes it felt like, I don't know, lonely. Other times it felt happy. Other times, like, it's hard to explain. It just felt like it had its own personality. And sometimes it felt dark. It was like that. I always said it was a lower vibration, or I forget how I described it in the book. But it felt sometimes there was a negative thing there. I was trying to figure out why. Like if somebody brought that in, or it was attached to the family, maybe they move up places, they still have that kind of activity. I know after they moved out, they each had their own place and seemed like they each experienced activity when they moved out. So maybe things were just drawn to this family. And when they lived prior, before they moved to the mansion, they had activity at the prior house too. So sometimes people just bring stuff with them. Part of them, I guess, not really the property they moved to, even though the mansion did have that, you know, element to it. But it's just piece of that puzzle is the people too. It's not just the property.
Yeah, it could be. And I was going to say, even in the mindset of creating tulpas. So if they believe that there is something negative, something going on, that they, you know, pull all of their thoughts and nightmares, negative thoughts into, sometimes that can create entities as well.
Right. I tell people we go in, we have to work as a team. It's not like some people expect or perceive that we'll come in and we'll leave and spend a couple of hours, whatever, there, and their life's all good, that they don't have to do anything. But I say you actually have to do most of the work. You have to keep the vibration high in your house. There's a lot of arguing and fighting and all kinds of stuff that goes out in the environment. And you know, you're not helping the situation by being that way. You have to, because some place we went to, I look around. I got to look at more detail than I used to. My wife is the one that really looks at detail. She sees stuff that I never see because I'm always thinking of what I'm going to do next. But I saw like punch holes in the wall. So somebody's upset in the house, obviously. So that's not helping the situation at all. So I try and, you know, tell them that kind of stuff, that it's, you have to work with me. I'll gladly help you out and do whatever I can, but you have to do your side too.
One of the peculiar things about the mansion too that you describe is, I know a lot of people thought that they saw a ghost that they would refer to as the mustache man, and it seems like he was kind of vain or something, because there's all these mirrors that were in the house, and anybody who looks into the paranormal knows that mirrors and spirits, there's some weird stuff that can go on there with them getting trapped and that kind of thing. Did that kind of weird you out when you were going through there? And I'm sure you were kind of picking up the energy off these mirrors.
Yeah, the mirrors kind of always freaked me out there. I was standing in front of them and just in the dark and look at them. And it's interesting because they were everywhere. And there were these big arch mirrors that they had throughout the house. And it was just odd to me, like somebody needed these giant mirrors in their house. They had to like really worry about their looks or something. I don't know, but the things I seen and the visions I had seemed like that was the type of guy, and I can never connect any document to who this guy actually was. I see him. I can still see him today when I like just think about him, but I just don't, can never find out who this guy actually was in the house. And I, you know, there's a woman with him. I saw them on the second floor, because part of the, sounds crazy. A lot of people think this is nuts, but like remote viewing type things, I could take myself, like I took myself to the mansion one time and I walked through it. And as I'm walking through, it was like I put somebody else's glasses or something on. It was just that blurry, out of focus look. And I heard people talking. And I walked up on the second floor and I'm looking down, and all I see is this like line across the floor when I'm looking into where something happened in the mansion in the story, that area. And I just saw this like cord. And I went to step over it and I tripped. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm thinking to myself, and then all of a sudden this woman's hand goes right in front of me and she shows me this old fashioned ring. It was really, really cool experience, but I saw two guys in the doorway. And later on, I asked Teresa, I said, I didn't even think about it at first. It was like a couple of days later, I contacted her and I said, hey, by the chance, the other day, a couple of days ago, was there anybody in the mansion? Because at that point, there was nobody there because, you know, what happened? And she said, yeah, two guys. I'm like, you kidding me? And I described these guys. He said, yeah. I'm like, that's crazy. So we went back up, my daughter and I, and we walked through the mansion with Teresa. And my daughter went to that point. We got on the second floor where I saw that cord. And it was kind of dark in there sometimes. And that time, they didn't really have many lights on for some reason. And my daughter goes, Dad, come here. And I walk over and she goes, look. And there was a cord right where I tripped in my mind.
Whoa.
It like totally blew me away. And my daughter was like, see, Dad, you have to even watch where you're walking in your mind, even in your mind. And everybody started laughing. It was like, it was just an amazing thing to experience. And these two guys were actually two workers in the house at the day I did it. So it's like, in my mind, I always think, try and think of like outside the box or whatever. And like, did they hear me? Like when I was walking, like it's just a crazy thing. Did they hear stuff? I don't know. I just have so many different theories.
I think
there
was a ghost.
Yeah. I have so many different theories because there's things that I believe aren't hauntings. Like if somebody sees a black figure in their room or they see a dark figure, they open their eyes. Is that somebody like projecting when they're sleeping in a dream and you see them? I mean, it's not a haunting. It's not a ghost. It's actually somebody projecting themselves. I have all these theories I could talk about for hours. But
that is so strange that you said that, Jeffrey, because we were interviewing one of our listeners and she had woken up. She was getting ready to go away to college. And she woke up the night before she was going to leave and she saw this shadow figure leaning over her. It like got really close to her face and looked at her. And I said, I don't know why I'm asking you this question, but do you think it might have been yourself projecting yourself outside of yourself, looking back at yourself because you're about to go through this big life change thing? So you saying that makes me go, huh.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like there's so many different interesting things that we can do, or like our spirit, or you know, whatever. It's just people think it's a haunting right away, and it's not. There's just so many things out there that it could possibly be, and it's just interesting to me to try and figure it out. I've tried, you know, understand it all.
Before I read the book, I wanted to know a little bit more about the house, so that's how I found out that it was first called the DeNicola House. And the first story that popped up was that, oh no, there was a fire there. And then when I read your book, I saw that you got into it and covered it. Because, of course, the news story just basically said there was a fire. It was mostly on the second floor. There were some people who had lived there that had been displaced. But then when I read you talking about it in the book, it sounded like the fire started around one of these mirrors or behind it or something.
Yeah, the mirror, the one on the second floor that interests me the most, on the other side of that mirror, that's the hallway where the handyman, he saw that horn figure walk down the hall. And that's the hall on the cover of the book is actually the steps on the other side where he saw that figure going down those steps. There's various steps in there, stairs. And that's the cover of my book. I took a picture of the one day I was there. I used that picture of walking up the stairs in the mansion for the cover of the book. But the mirrors on the other side of the second floor where I would look in, around the other side, exactly the same mirror. They're back to back. As you walk down that hallway, then on the other side of the mirror is where the fire started, back in an apartment that is still like unexplainable to me how it started, because nobody lived back there. And that supposedly the stove didn't work for 6 months prior or whatever. I don't know. It's just, they said a cat jumped down and hit the knob and started the burner on. It started a cardboard box on fire. Is it possible? Yeah. I mean, I believe it's possible, but I don't know. When I did that remote thing, whatever you want to call it, projector or whatever, I don't know. I'm not really big on titles and stuff, but whatever people want to call it. I was in that, when I tripped over that cord in my mind, which sounds crazy, but when I looked over the hallway where that mirror is, all of a sudden my vision or what I was doing, it wasn't really quick. It was like super speed. And I ended up right in front of the doorway where the fire was. It was like, it kind of like threw me back because it went so fast. Like everything sped up. And I asked about the fire and a voice said to me, do you believe in magic? And I still to this day don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah. That's interesting.
So I don't understand. I mean, I have my theories, but I never really understood how a cat could do that. My daughter lives in a house now. She actually lives on the property where my second book is now. She actually moved into an apartment, like above the garage back there. And just a couple of days ago, they were, her and her boyfriend were in their bedroom, and all of a sudden the smoke alarm went off, and he went running out, and here the cat knocked something off higher than the stove, hit the burner and started the burner on, started getting hot, the electric burner. So it actually, I thought all this time, I wasn't sure about that, but actually right there, it just happened. So maybe it was,
it's possible.
How it happened. I don't know. But the weird thing is that they said that the stove didn't work for months prior to that. It wasn't even like operable. So it's kind of strange. And then when I went there, all the flames, like the smoke damage was above the refrigerator on the right, and right above where this intense fire was, like the rest of it was charcoal. It was just intense fire. Right above where the fire supposedly started in the stove, it was like regular wood. It wasn't even touched. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
It's really interesting. And another crazy thing about like fire and hauntings is over the years, a lot of places I went to start on fire. There's a lot of haunted places that start on fire. I don't, can't explain why, but they do. Is it?
So you're a fire starter, apparently. You didn't even know it.
Yeah, maybe. But it's interesting because there is a lot of places that I go to that the farms that only start on fire. Fort Mifflin, I went to. I mean, that started on fire a couple of times. There's mansion. There's just more and more places that I can name that actually they're haunted. I went to and they start on fire. So I don't know what the connection is, but it's just, well, you know, one of the facts of it. I don't know.
You felt the house was kind of lighter after the fire, didn't you?
Yeah, it's one of the times when I went, it felt, you know, different emotions every time I went. And after it just felt more open, like that heaviness was not there. Just didn't feel it. And then after it was remodeled and stuff and, you know, repaired, it just felt, the house felt happy. It's just weird to say, but it did. It felt happier. It's kind
almost
of strange.
Like a cleansing.
Yeah. And I think some of the spirits might have left then, but I think other things stayed. I believe from talking to people after the fact that there's still activity there, but I don't think it's, unless I go there again, I just don't feel it as negative or worrisome as it was before.
It's clearly not to the point that people who are, because I think they're renting it out as apartments now, they clearly right. feel comfortable living there. They're not running out and jumping their leases and stuff.
Yeah, it's like the new book, the people that lived in that house over the years, they had there's two properties, and the second property they would rent out. Now they're both getting rented out, but back then the one was rented out and they couldn't keep anybody in it. They just kept the one couple, a Spanish couple, different people lived there. And the one time the Spanish couple, they went in their car in like middle of December, it was freezing out, and they slept in their car. As soon as the sun came up, they took off. There was another woman there at one point. There's a side porch, and she wouldn't sleep upstairs. She slept on the side porch. She wouldn't even go up the second floor at all anymore. So I'm starting to hear these stories now, because back then I did that investigation back in 2010 and 2011. So after writing the stories, it's one of the stories I always wanted to tell, but I never got around to it. Now I'm finally getting around to getting back into that. More research, and I interviewed family for hours recently to hear stories and to help write the book, you know, with stories from what they experienced. And I'm getting back into the whole thing from 14 years ago now and writing that story finally.
Now, is this the place that you've been investigating, the farmhouse, or is this a different place?
The one that's now, I investigated in 2010 and 11. The other one I spent a year at, that was in 2015. That was built in 1790. So a lot of the places in Ole, it's a national historic. The whole town is, the whole village, they made a national historic place. So it's all from the colonial days. It's a lot of history in Ole. In my area, a lot of history. A lot of old buildings from the 1700s and stuff around my area. You know, it's mostly Pennsylvania German around here. That's what I am. So it's a lot of Pennsylvania German, Pennsylvania Dutch history.
Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you for sharing about your abilities and the investigations that you've done and about the mansion. Can you tell everybody where they can find out more about your books?
Yeah, the books are locally. They're around bookstores and stuff in my area in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. Other than that, they're on Amazon. You know, Amazon, the ebook and the regular paperback you can buy on Amazon. Both the books. You go on Jeffrey A. Dangler on Facebook. I have a page. It's all about my author stuff. And on TikTok, it's Kipacrew, K-I-P-A-C-R-E-W. I have videos that I went by that name for years. So I try and stay like incognito. People didn't know who I was. I kind of liked it that way. But then when I wrote the book, everybody's starting to know who I am. And a lot of people were surprised to find out my name wasn't Kippa. Yeah, there's videos on there of the farm. I go to the historic farm from the 1700s. There's evidence there, different videos I made for the mansion and things people can look at or look on the Facebook under my name, and you'll see a bunch of stuff on there too. Love to send you guys evidence, some of the videos I have and other evidence to get your opinion of it. The one thing in the mansion, I'm still trying to figure out. There was a woman, it's on the TikTok page. There's a woman that spoke to me, a spirit in a foreign language. I'm still trying to figure out what she's telling me. I would love to this day yet find out. I hear stuff from people. I got people arguing it's Spanish. Other people saying, no, it's Polish. No, it's this. And they're like arguing back and forth. But I honestly don't know myself what the message she was trying to tell me in the mansion. I still want to find out. But I think it's like Lithuanian or something over in that part of the world, because that matched with the history of Minersville from the immigrants and stuff. I would love to honestly know what she was trying to tell me in the hallway. That's on TikTok.
Yeah, but I can throw that audio in on this and see if anybody, you know, recognizes it.
Gladly send you any evidence. I have like files and files and files from all the years that you guys ever want to hear it. I'll definitely send it to you.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
It seems that there have been many strange occurrences in the house. Is that because the house itself is haunted, or is it because residents themselves have been haunted?
That is for you to decide. All right, we're going to go ahead and play a few of the EVP that Jeffrey passed along to us. This first one is at a farm that he goes to currently, and you're going to hear them talking about that they're hearing what seems to be an audible whisper.
Right.
And so they're kind of asking each other, are you whispering? Did you whisper? Is this us causing it? And then you'll hear some kind of a raspy voice at the end. We'll go ahead and play it once.
It might have been him. I don't know. I'm like,
making a noise.
I heard you. You didn't do that?
I heard it.
I actually heard something.
I think it is. I don't know.
And then we'll play it again.
It might have been him. I don't know. I'm like,
making a noise.
I heard you. You didn't do that?
I heard it.
I actually heard something.
I think it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely hear something. I felt it kind of sounded like a child to me. I don't know.
I thought it sounded really creepy. I didn't quite get the child portion.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the way I picked it up when I mentioned that you thought it was creepy to Jeffrey. He said, yeah, my wife did too, and she wouldn't go back to the farmhouse after that.
Oh, I would totally go back.
You'd be like, talk to us again. Who was that? This is also from a 1790 farm that he spent a year at. Go ahead and play it once. And we'll play it again. Kelly, that definitely sounded Native American to me.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
And Jeffrey says that he believes that it was Lenni Lenape from that tribe.
Oh.
So it'd be really interesting if anybody knows that language to tell us what was being said there, because we have no idea.
Or if anyone knows of software that can do that for you, please hit us up.
Yeah, because we were wondering if there's some kind of software that you could run some of this audio through and if it would translate it in some way. I've also been wondering if it's possible to, since these are in video form, the way that Jeffrey has done it, he's attached it to a video, if we could put some kind of closed captioning on it.
Right.
And see if that would come up with anything. This next one is also in a foreign language. This was captured at the Minersville Mansion. So what we're having you listen for is if you can detect what kind of language this is, what you think, you know, what region it might be from, and if you do recognize it, what is she saying? We'll go ahead and play it here once. And then again.
open key. Not on the doorman station.
A lot of people have thought that it was Spanish, but you and I didn't feel that it was Spanish.
I did not get Spanish from that.
No, I definitely don't. We were thinking it was something European, maybe the kind of Caucasus area or something. I don't know. It feels something like the Czech Republic, something like that in that kind of area.
And this is coming from people that really don't know the language, but that's just how it struck
us. Yeah, that's just what we're guessing.
That's just how it struck us.
So let us know what you guys think as well. Those were great EVP, very, very clear. It was great having Jeff join us, and I just came across this because one of my clients had picked up this book while she was in Pennsylvania, and she said, have you heard of this place? And I was like, no, I don't think I have. And I was looking through the book, and I'm like, well, it'd be really good if I could track down the author and have him join us. So that's what I did.
Yeah, he was a great interview.
Yeah, he was great. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this episode. I've been your host, Diane.
And this has been Kelly.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
This episode isn't brought to you by our executive producers.
Make more the happy boy and share the podcast.